Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here. Well, praise God. I'm so glad you decided to join me today for this edition of The Word Works. I've got a very special guest. We're out vacationing together and hanging out, and that's my brother-in-law and his wife, Dana, Paul and Dana Withrow. And I always like to try to get him recorded whenever we can because he's got such great insight to the Word. The Lord has ministered to him and through him to me for many years. And I know you've already heard him on our podcast in the past. We're talking about mind renewal. And Paul, can you just share some insight or what's on your heart about the process of renewing your mind and how you've seen, maybe even how you've seen that play out in other people? I'm asking you a lot here right now to get started. But just what's on your heart that you can share with us that will give us some more insight beyond what I've been trying to share?
Well, when you're talking about the renewing of the mind, just some of the basics are, okay, the scripture says if they have not the Spirit, they're none of His. So when we're talking about this, first the establishing is a person must be born again, and upon being born again, receive the Spirit, which means the Holy Spirit enters into their spirit, they're born again, and He resides there. So when we say to someone, the kingdom of God is within you, we're saying that to in our terminology is to a believer who has been born again and the Holy Spirit has come inside them. So Jesus says, I'm in you and you're in me. So, and He means it literally that He lives within them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we can't say that to someone outside the body of Christ. It's not correct to say that. So some of the things that we talk about or that I'm going to say could be misinterpreted by a person not considering the born-again experience and think that we're just talking about the power within them or something like that. So sometimes it's better to just be very specific about what we're talking about. We have to look, in my opinion, we must look at the source of our motivations. So what is the purpose of the renewing of the mind is to know the good and perfect, was it good, perfect, and acceptable will of God by the renewing of our mind through the washing of our mind through the water of the Word. So we bathe our mind through studying, through praying, asking the Lord to give us revelation and filling us up with knowledge, but that knowledge is not really any good because in this discussion, it can easily become an intellectual discussion. Okay, the Lord never intended it to be an intellectual discussion, even though it is sometimes. And you can see people's eyes roll back in the back of their head when you start talking about the renewing of the mind because they think, oh yeah, this is all about, you know, thinking right. That's not really what it is. What it is it's a very practical. He will tell us something. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when God speaks His Word to us, I think it's called Rhema Word, right? Mm-hmm. When He speaks it. So He speaks something to us, and then we must believe it. You would think that every believer, every child of God, when they hear God speak, they'll believe Him. But sometimes that point is missed. He says it and they're like, well, that really doesn't apply to me, or I've never experienced that, or I don't know if that's for me, or whatever. They make excuses instead of simply like a childlike faith, hearing their parents say something and say, oh, well, Daddy said it, it's got to be true. Well, in our case, that's what we should be doing, and that will speed up the process of the renewing of the mind into hyperdrive if when God says something, you just simply believe what He says. Now, what's going to prevent us from doing that is the world, the devil, the flesh, and for us in America, the media, our experiences, colleges, professors, doctors, everyone that we look to as authorities in this world are going to many times tell us contrary things. Even in religious circles, we're going to hear contrary concepts to what God has said through His Word or directly to us through a spoken word, just our heart. So the renewing of the mind has to be, first, we got to have the Spirit inside of us. And it's sort of like, I think it was Samuel and Eli. When Samuel heard God speak and he kept saying, Eli, what do you want? Is that correct?
Yeah.
One of the two characters?
Yeah.
And Eli said, look, it's got to be God because I'm not saying anything to you.
Amen.
Well, we got to know the source. And
that's good.
So the depth has to be in one form. Okay, if we believe we have the Spirit of God within us, but yet we have our mind, will, and emotions, which is the soul, that is preventing, in the beginning, the Spirit being able to have free reign in our life because we have been so conditioned our entire lives, even if we're young, to believe all these voices. Then all of a sudden we have a voice just like Samuel wasn't used to hearing God's voice when he was a kid. I believe as he got older, he got really used to it, which is our hope. But in the beginning, we don't know what the source of the voice is. We don't know if it's God or not. Well, how are we going to be able to discern the will of God? What does it say in the Scripture? Through the renewing of our mind, we might know the will of God. Well, how does he tell us his will? Through the written word, by reading, but it's still the Holy Ghost revealing what the written word means, because you can intellectually understand the Scripture by reading it. You get the storyline and you can get the purpose of God, but until the Holy Spirit reveals to you, it's a mystery. It's like the whole Bible to an unbeliever or even a baby Christian is a parable. Like Jesus said, I speak to them in parables, but I speak plainly to you. Well, see, somebody who doesn't have the Spirit, the book is a book of parables. It doesn't make any sense to them because to the carnal mind, the Word of God is a mystery and doesn't make any sense. But now that's not us. Once we're born again and we have the Spirit within us, he's our teacher and our interpreter. So as we're reading, he can stop us in the middle of a sentence, the middle of a verse, and say, let me tell you what that really means. And we have to be able to know, is that him speaking, or is this our imagination?
Wow, that's wonderful. In fact, I was recording one of the sessions this morning, which will be played before this one. I was talking about the Scripture where knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And you've taken two or three basic truths right here that really need to be emphasized and reemphasized in this particular series that I'm doing, because to know the source, to know it's not head knowledge that we're after, that we're after love's knowledge.
Yes.
That what he's revealing to us. And mm-hmm. I love that about Eli and Samuel. And you know, you think about Samuel as he went on in his life. And the story that stood out to me was the one you talked about where God was speaking to him, and to understand that source. And that's something we, like you said, as we progress in hearing God's voice, we understand that it's God's voice. We recognize it better.
And we can be conditioned into being able to do that, just like when Samuel was young. We know as he got older, he spoke directly with God and they had conversation. Well, see, as a baby Christian, we've never heard that voice before. I mean, we really haven't. We might, it convicted us in everything, and we got born again, but now we've entered in. But it says, Jesus told the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And he was saying, it's not about buildings. It's not about religion. It's not about practices. It's about hearing his voice and obeying.
Amen.
Just like Abraham. What was Abraham? It was counted unto righteousness for what reason? Because he heard God and he did what God asked him to do. He, in faith, left his home and went to a strange place only on the Word of God, that, not the Word of God written like we think sometimes. It was God told him, Abraham, I want you to go, and when you get there, I'll bless you. So that's where we need to know the source. Like today there's so many voices, and like I said, even in religious circles, we have to know the source of this motivation. So the renewing of the mind allows us to discern the source. Now, what we're seeking for is the Spirit within us to break out. It's like a seed must fall to the ground and die before it can be alive. So practically what that means is you dig a hole, you put a seed in there, you cover it up, and the outer part of the seed dies so that the life within the seed can come out. Well, see, that's what that has to happen to us, is the seed within us is the Spirit of God within our spirit. So it has to break that outside shell. Well, how's that done? Well, it's really done through submission. We can't do it to ourselves. But we have to decide at some point, I'm only going to do what I hear God say. Just like Jesus said, I only repeat what my Father said. I only do what I've seen my Father do. That's where we have to be. We have to say, as far as doing the will of God, I'm only going to do what I know Jesus is telling me to do and put a label on it and say, this is the work of God. But we want our whole life to be that way. Well, how does that happen? Is that we have to die. We have to be that seed that dies. So the outward, our mind, will, and emotions, and our physical body, we have to deny that what it wants. So not a death like, you know, physical death, like shooting myself, but a death to the desires of the flesh. And within that flesh is those carnal desires in the mind, will, and emotions. So they want to drive us. So if we say we confront a situation, we have to, in a nanosecond, discern, is this reaction that I'm about to do in the flesh, is it coming from the spirit, or is this coming from my mind, will, and emotions, which I've been programmed by my whole life to react a certain way? And we don't have very long, I'm talking nanosecond moment, to decide which impulse we're going to follow. Well, how do you prepare? You know, when they came down off the mountain, they couldn't drive the demons out. And Jesus said, well, these only come out through prayer and fasting. Well, he didn't mean this guy's going to sit here for 10 days for you to go off and fast and then come back and drive the demons out. That's not what he meant. What he meant was, when you confront a situation, you have to be, God will motivate you days and maybe years before to condition you through prayer and fasting and seeking his face, so that when you enter into this struggle, you're going to be ready, spiritually ready, to be able to know how to hear the voice of God and do it because of the life you've lived and the price you've paid prior to that moment.
You know something, that is so important, because I just heard a teaching on this about, you know, Jesus, when he operated in this, you know, in certain situations, he was prepared. He wasn't.
Yes.
So when he hit the situation in that one, a lot of people have said that, you know, that the kind that came out by prayer and fasting was the unbelief. And that unbelief that was coming at everyone involved in that situation, Jesus wasn't dealing with that.
Exactly.
He didn't have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. But he said, you're going to have to deal with that. And the way you deal with that is to get yourself under submission here and get your mind thinking differently. Mm-hmm. And that the demons don't have the authority here. You do.
Right. Because they were fearful.
Right.
Well, if we spend time, you know, they said about the apostles, how do they know these things? They don't know the letters. And they said, well, they spent time with Jesus. So how do we get prepared for this? I mean, I've heard the illustration has said, if you want bank tellers to be able to detect counterfeits, you don't teach them by handing them counterfeits. The best ones are the ones that handle the real money all day long, and then when they run across a counterfeit, it's going to feel different.
That's good.
See, it's a different perspective on detecting a lie or detecting something inconsistent with the way of the Spirit. Is we don't do that by going and studying the inconsistencies. We just walk in the truth. You know, like you'll be able to discern. You'll hear something and say, that just didn't sound like Jesus. Well, you don't go study the lie. You just stay with Jesus all the time, and then when you run across something, you're going to be, I don't think that's the Lord. You know, so it's a very positive thing. But for me, this idea that through doing this, that I'm building a reservoir of wisdom or something. Okay. I used to think that way. And I, for many years, went about thinking that I'm building wisdom and I'm building knowledge of God and all that. The Lord finally showed me, he said, no, you're not a reservoir. You're a conduit that I flow through.
You know, I really just stopped y'all right here, Paul, because that is just so powerful. And we discussed this the other day. It's not like you've got a water heater. You're like you're a tankless water heater, you know,
exactly,
that it's flowing through.
Mm-hmm. And it, once we see how God does and how his resources are unlimited, and what happens sometimes is when we're faced with a spiritual, say a battle, for lack of a better word, immediately the enemy is going to have us evaluate, are we prepared for this war, and start discouraging us before we ever enter in. Well, see, if we start trying to judge, well, how much faith do I have? How much experience do I have? How much knowledge do I have? All of a sudden we realize we're going to lose because we're outnumbered. Okay. What we do, though, is we don't look at our resources or our abilities. All we have to do is say, if God put me here, he promised he'll provide what I need when I need it, and he is the source. So we're looking at his abilities, his resources, everything about him, and all I am is I just open up the floodgate and it flows through. Now, the way I have to open up the floodgate is through believing that he's capable. I'm not capable, but just like, because I was thinking about, Jehoshaphat, when God said, send the singers out.
Yeah.
Okay, now that's very contrary, completely contrary to normal battle. Well, Jehoshaphat, that was not his strategy. He didn't come up with that.
So next time, let's talk about that. Let's talk about, you know, even what those guys must have thought coming over that hill, because you know, you've been in armed services and trained this way. You weren't trained this way, the way we're going to talk about, but let's talk about that next time. And Paul, I appreciate you being here, and we just tell everybody who's listening to this, stay tuned for part two, for the next part.
Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at bertandjoe.com. That's BERTANDJO.com. And remember, the Word works.